We learned this week that Vladimir Putin had been re-elected president of Russia.
Thank God for that. I, for one, very much care about this kind of thing, and I'm definitely not mental.
We wrote that introduction, incidentally, when we had a quiet few minutes of lockdown to pass in, like, June 2020. Imagined it would probably come in handy around now. We learned that President Putin had been endorsed to go round yet again by fully 87.3% of his fellow citizens, finishing a solid 73 million votes ahead of the second-place getter, Nikolai Karotinov of the Communist Party, an organisation to which Russia's people seem unkeen to extend a second crack at running things.
Yikes.
We mostly learned from this that it's vastly easier to win elections when all your serious opponents are imprisoned or exiled or dead, but we did also learn that Russian presidential elections are not without a whimsical side.
Ooh, yeah.
We learned, for e.g., that voters at a polling station in Omsk were treated to a tune by inexplicably popular singer Stas Mikhailov. The gong will be getting a bit of use this week. Keep it handy. We learned that in Khanty-Mansiysk, voters had been enticed to the poll by a raffle, which was won by a police officer. Honestly, what were the chances? We think that might be Russian for, oh no, what a surprise, how embarrassing, this is awkward, etc. And we learned that in Perm, a robot had turned up attempting to exercise its franchise. Probably, in fairness, one of the less implausible 76 million votes cast in favour of awarding President Putin another six, or really as many as he feels like, years. But we learned that it had all been worth it, as congratulations poured in from other flourishing democracies.
Слова поздравления пришли от властей Кубы. Они надеются на укрепление связи с Россией.
Like Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, North Korea, and that weird little bit of Bosnia which wishes it was Belarus. But we learned ultimately that Vladimir Putin at least still has a job and will not be reduced, like at least one recently unhorsed fellow demagogue, to shilling perfume. We learned that it had all gone a bit QVC for former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, whose name now adorns a fragrance created, it says here, by his missus's makeup artist. One might reasonably surmise that a Bolsonaro-inspired scent would be principally redolent of desperation and plea bargains, but not so. We learned that Bolsonaro, the perfume at least, has loftier qualities, as will now be read from the literal label copy by Monocle's aromacology desk chief, Fernando Augusto Pacheco.
Enter a pulsating heart, where cyclamen and violet intertwine with refreshing oceanic notes and the enveloping sweetness of jasmine and rose, complemented by the vivacity of rosemary and the subtle spice of coriander and nutmeg. Delve into the seductive depths of a woody and sensual bass, where amber and patchouli intertwine with the richness of cedar and the softness of white musk, enveloping you in an aura of mystery and lasting elegance.
Righto, but we learned that Jair Bolsonaro was not the only thwarted populist blowhard sublimating his political disappointment with weird vanity projects.
Oh, no.
Quite. We learned that Australian Donald Trump tribute act Clive Palmer has once again vouchsafed his intention to launch a full-scale replica of Titanic, and we learned that this was being reported by Australian media in the tones of people who had been led up a given garden path once or twice before.
You've been talking about this since you've had brown hair. Why should we believe you now?
Because I've got more money now.
why not do it? What am I going to do? I'm 70. I'm going to do it.
We learned that Palmer intends that this ship will sail in 2027, bearing passengers dressed for the occasion in authentic 1912-era costumes, and we have accordingly marked that date in our diaries as that date on which, with the cooperation of a fortuitous iceberg, the single funniest thing in human history may occur. And sticking with the subject of politicians whose career has amounted largely to prodding the electorate in the chest and demanding to know what they're looking at, we learned of yet another one of those things where a politician uses a popular song for electioneering purposes, then gets yelled at by the artist responsible, and those are always fun. Except we learned that this politician may have found a way to spoil it for everyone else. We learned that New Zealand's rambunctious Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters had been asked by tedious British agitpoppers Chumbawamba to cease and desist vis-à-vis their 1997 smash Tub Thumping on the grounds that Chumbawamba were unkeen on Peters' generally belligerently conservative outlook. We learned, however, that Peters was not about to undertake the sulky capitulation traditional in such circumstances, instead breezily responding on social media as follows, as will now be voiced in Authentic Kiwi by Monocle's Authentic Kiwi desk chief, David Stevens.
It seems the media care more about the Chumbawamba story than we do. We actually don't care. I would use another of their hit song titles as a quip at the end of this post, but unfortunately, they only had one.
Ooh. Harsh, but kind of unarguable. Mallet. For Monocle Radio, I'm Andrew Muller.